Welcome to the Pretty City Hotline. Please leave your message at the tone.
I'm so sorry for spamming you about this, but it was just so, like, I had forgotten about this whole part of my life where, like, acne was this massive thing that defined me. It's amazing that you guys are willing to talk about these things because I think that it's, like you said, you are so nervous that you will be thought of as vain. And that's what I was told a lot by my family, you know, but my family all has clear skin. So, like, why would they be talking about their skin? But you feel so bad about yourself. You don't feel pretty. That mentality that you've had for so many years of covering yourself and being embarrassed of yourself and, like, not really feeling how beautiful that you are, it does stick with you for a bit, and you have to kind of unlearn that because you've built it, you know? So, long story long, sorry for filling up your phone, but I loved Pretty Zitty, and I can't wait for more.
End of message.
Welcome to Pretty Zitty, the show about celebrating your skin and being hot while doing it. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Ellen.
And we are Pimple Pals.
Yeah, we are. Hannah likes to say that we're Pimple Pals.
So the voice message you heard up top was from my friend Aubrey Cedar, and she left that in response to our very first episode, which was called Pretty and Zitty. And side note, if you have not heard that episode, you should check it out because Ellen and I break down our own skin stories. But yeah, she left that message and it was like very heartfelt and like super, super sweet that she likes the show and felt like she got a lot out of it.
And guess what? We actually interviewed her after hearing that because we really wanted to for our skin stories series, where basically we interview people who have been on a journey with having troubled skin.
Yep. So Aubrey spoke to us from her home in Bloomington, Indiana, about her experience with keratosis pilaris and acne.
Yeah.
So two different skin conditions that she experienced at the same time. And she's even going to tell us about her struggles to cover her skin with makeup during 2-hour swim practices when she was younger, which is wild. So she'll get into how she did that.
She's a beast. Honestly, that was beast mode when she was talking about that. I was like, that was crazy, but you'll hear it. You'll hear it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's important to also say that we're all more than our skin. Like, we might be struggling with skin issues, but we have identities that are very vast and encompass a lot more than, you know, just like what our skin looks like. So I think it's important to mention that Aubrey is also a positive peace ambassador for the Institute for Economics and Peace. She's a former Global Grant Scholar for Rotary International, and she also has her own podcast, which is The Hijabi Diaries. So go check that sucker out. And as a side note, actually, Aubrey and I, so when we met through public radio, we were both producers in Bloomington. And something crazy that we found out is that we have the exact same birthday.
I didn't know that. Same birth time?
No, I don't think the exact same birth time, but one of our birthdays one year, we just like hosted up at a bar and we had like our friends all come out. And honestly, I don't really like being the center of attention. And so birthdays are always like a little, I don't know, it's like kind of stressful to be like everyone's focused on me.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of nice to like share a birthday with someone and be able to hang out at the bar while people are arriving and
meet and greet.
I think Aubrey's more comfortable with the spotlight, so I was able to kind of like fade back a little bit, which is nice. And I don't know why this is making me think that like I would do well as a twin, actually, because I would be able to always share a birthday with someone. I don't know.
I could see you as a twin.
Just a thought.
What a weird,
like, I think I would have done well as a twin.
What a weird thought. I would have done really well as a twin. That's hilarious. Oh, man.
Anyway, should we get to the show?
Oh, yeah. So we'll hear from Aubrey in this episode and her experience with keratosis pilaris and acne and swimming. And we don't actually talk about how Hannah should have been a twin. But now that I know that she should have been a twin, she thinks she should have been a twin, we're definitely talking about that in a future episode. But this is centered on Aubrey and her skin story. So Go ahead. We'll get started. Cue the music, baby.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the first time that you felt like uncomfortable in your skin, or you felt like you had issues with your skin?
Yeah.
And what that was like, or that time period in your life?
Yeah. So I think that the first, I'm going to go back before the discomfort to the time when I first knew I had something different about my skin than other people. I learned when I was, I want to say like 4, because I couldn't have been 5 yet because I was still in preschool when this happened. We went to the doctor and there had been this like, all these red bumps had started to appear on my face. I remember my mom took certain things out of my diet. So they were trying to figure out if it was like an allergic reaction, right? And I remember going in and I remember being really scared when she told me that this was actually like a skin condition. It's called keratosis pilaris. And what it is that it's a disorder of the follicles in your skin, and it can be of like varying severities. And most of the time it happens in kids and in teens. But what it is the follicle will produce more keratin or something that makes the proteins that build your skin cells. So it'll produce these little like bumps on your skin. And most of the time when it's on other parts of your body, like I actually have it on my arms,
yep,
on the undersides of my upper arms. But when I was a kid, up until the time that I was like, from when I was like 4 to I would say when I was 12, I had these raised red bumps all over my cheeks. And the thing about keratosis is that your skin is more sensitive and can be dried out more often. So my skin would dry out and it would crack. And my sister and my mom, it's not as if they've never had any skin problems ever, but they have very balanced oils in their skin. And so my mom was taught by my grandmother, my Nana, to cleanse her face every day with rubbing alcohol.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, nightmare.
And I feel bad because I don't want my mom to feel bad about telling me to do that, because that worked for her. She never had any problems, right? And that's what she learned, and that's what she thought would help me. If you wanted to put moisturizer on your skin, you just like use lotion, just like use like Vaseline or like whatever else was in the house. Just like use that on your skin. And that's what she was able to do. To this day, my mother can put cocoa butter, Palmer's cocoa butter, on her face and nothing happens.
And she's fine.
And she's fine. She's totally fine. She's like a miracle of nature. Like, you can't see it, but all three of us are like holding our heads right now. Like,
yeah, we're all kind of in shock about that.
Like, what? Like the tub of cocoa butter.
Yeah,
like the kind that you put on your legs.
That you put on your legs, that you put on pregnancy stretch marks. She can put it on her face.
I think that's a thing, though. You know, when you, like, you and your mom has, like, certain beauty rituals, you think as a kid that that is the best advice ever. So, honestly, if my mom said to use rubbing alcohol, I would have done it, too.
And that's what I did. I actually, but there was no such thing for me as, like, putting lotion on my skin, because to my logic, if there was something on my face that was raised, and because my skin was constantly dried out from the pool, my face would produce more oil because it kept cracking and the bacteria would get in and I'd start to get acne. And this started when I was maybe like 13. And I told Hannah about this, I became obsessed, like you guys were saying in early episodes, about covering all of that. At this point, I still had keratosis. I don't have it anymore. And what I was told was that I would grow out of it, which is the worst thing to be told when you're a teenager, because you're like, yeah, when? When will this nightmare end? It's not like, it's like these aren't the most important years of my social and just like life. Like, what are you telling me that I'm going to have to exist like this? So I had the keratosis, and then I also had the acne. You know, I think I might always have like this just hormonal breakout on my chin, but I got it around my hairline. I got it, you know, around my eyebrows, like anywhere that could make excess oil, my face would do that.
So you had keratosis and then it went away and then acne came?
No, they existed at the same time for a while.
So you're like 13 years old. You're using, you know, probably some of the worst products you could put on your face. You're getting acne and keratosis. And then also, you know, trying to cover it up, which is really hard if, you know, you're also a swimmer.
Right. So swimming, you have to go to practices after school. And this swimming for me started when I was 7 and went until I was 15. So all throughout, like, the end of elementary, into middle school, like, basically all the important parts of puberty, I had to figure out how to keep layers of concealer and foundation on my face during the course of, like, a two-hour swim practice three times a week.
How do you do that?
You're going to tell us, but I'm just so curious.
I think what it was, the number one thing was to just never touch your face. Because do you guys remember L'Oreal Dream Matte Mousse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
That was the makeup. Everyone had it. Yeah.
Right. So the thing about the Dream Matte Mousse is that when I went into the pool, as long as I didn't touch my face, it would sort of stay. Right? Because you could, like, it might start to come off a little bit, but, like, the areas where I had sort of, like, caked it on and really rubbed it in, as long as I didn't touch it with my towel, we would be fine. But then the problem was, is that if you are getting out of the pool, it was a real, like, calculated effort to be able to put my goggles on and remove my goggles while not the makeup not coming off, my mascara not running, and then, like, patting it enough that it didn't come off on the towel, right? So I'm patting my face, and of course it comes off. So you have the days when the only thing that my mom had was, like, a white or light colored towel to give me. Of course, like, I would like wipe my face down real quick and then just, like, push it away so that no one would see the makeup that was on my face.
I remember, this is a quick sojourn, but I remember going to state in eighth grade for cross country. And I was staying in a hotel room with other people on my team. And I remember I, like, washed my face, but I didn't do a good enough job. And I, like, put my face in one of the white clean towels to rub it off.
Oh, no.
Hung it back up. I'm sorry. Hung it back up and you could see my entire face.
Yes!
On the towel. You could see my entire face on the towel, like my eye makeup, like my lip gloss, like my makeup, and I hung it up. And then another teammate, like, she was like, who got makeup all over one of the towels? And it was me, and I was so embarrassed.
Did you own up?
Yeah, I had to. It was pretty obvious. Everyone else
it was me,
clear-skinned.
Tiffany.
Yeah. It was me, Becca.
Thanks for calling me out.
So anyway, I relate to you about the towel thing. There's something really embarrassing about people knowing that you have makeup on, even though they can obviously see it, right?
The worst, too, was when you put on goggles. I just, like, this motion of putting a finger up to your eyelash and then making sure that not to... Oh my gosh, mascara just came off of mine now, and I'm not even wet. But, like, making sure that when you brush your eye, like, your eye... What are these called?
Your eyelashes?
Yeah, when you brush your
so
eyelashes.
So what Ellen's doing is she's touching her finger to her eyelashes to see if the mascara
is
coming off.
Yeah, so when
off.
You, like, take your finger and then brush it against your eyelashes, when you're out of the pool, you, like, make sure that you just get the water, and then you don't want any of the black. But I remember wearing goggles, and then I would blink, and the black would get on the goggles. And one time I was wearing, I can't remember whose house I was at, but they had a pool, and I blinked and the mascara got on their goggles, and then the friend that I was with, like, tried them on, and she was like, there's black, I think there's a dead bug in this, I think that there's, like, a dead, like a fly's wings on the inside.
You're like, yeah, I saw a fly fly into it. That's definitely what it is.
I just was like, oh my god, like, I have to wear a mascara because my face is so white from all this concealer that I'm putting on, and I need some sort of definition because I look insane. And, like,
Aubrey, I think you were going to say something.
I think that what's interesting for me is, like, talking about how I was so self-conscious for so long about things. Like, I was really lucky because I actually stumbled into something that alleviated a lot of my skin problems. The number one thing that I needed for my skin that was a combination of having this keratosis, so making more protein around my follicles, having these raised bumps that were easy to irritate, and then also having this sensitive skin that was exposed to so many pool chemicals, was I really needed moisturizer. And so what I found is, just one day I decided that I would just take the plunge. I would just, like, find a moisturizer. I found a Neutrogena sensitive skin moisturizer. In the course of even, like, 6 weeks, so much of what had happened to my face started to clear up. And it took years after that. But what I started to learn was actually more about how skin functioned. And then as time went on and I became an adult, getting to know my skin better and getting to know how to treat it allowed me to just leave it alone more. And I think I've talked to Hannah about this, that even after your skin clears, if your skin does clear, because for a lot of people it doesn't, this mentality that you have is the thing that like that really traps you in. Like the mentality that everyone's looking at your skin, like that mentality doesn't just go away because your skin clears. And then you go back to like always having these thoughts about like, oh, my face, like, does my face look okay? Like, is this okay? And then whenever you have a blemish, you go to that sort of obsessive nature of like, oh, I have to hide it. How do I hide it? How do I show up in pictures without this blemish? So it's taken like many years to sort of reduce my need to focus on those blemishes. And quarantine definitely doesn't help, you know, because you're just staring into space. And then sometimes you're staring at your own face. I guess what I'm saying is, because I can't remember the original question.
No, I mean,
that's okay.
That's everything you said is so relatable.
Oh my gosh, especially about the mindset. And I also like just skin habits. Like, I don't know if you guys participate in like skin checking. It's sort of like body checking, which is this phenomenon when you have dysmorphia or like some sort of dislike about a part of your body or your face, you'll often like check it frequently just to, I don't know, just like check up on it. So like I will often do this. I'll do skin checking where I will look in the mirror more often than I need to, just to be like, is it different? Has it changed? Is it better? Is it worse? What is it? So what does it look
is
like?
Is that a bad thing to skin check?
I think it's just bad when it becomes distressing, like if you're doing it too often and it's distracting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like a good example of that would be when I've been on a first date or something, or I'm dating someone in the beginning, I'll do a lot of it. Like I will excuse myself to go to the bathroom, or I'll go check a mirror just to make sure I don't look bad. And I feel like that kind of fits into the mentality thing. Maybe it's not something you guys have dealt with, but I think even if I had clear skin, I would still be a little bit obsessed with kind of always having a mental map of like where everything is on my face at any given time.
Right. That's definitely something that I've done before. I have OCD, and it's like super manageable in terms of its level, but those kind of checking behaviors are like, they become compulsions. So they're just things that you do that, you know, it's not like washing your hands. It's not like maybe something that's so outwardly obvious, but it's like, it's what you put your attention on. You choose what you put your intention on, and like to be happier or to be more peaceful or just to like have more time in your life to do the things that you really care about, you start noticing what you put your attention on that doesn't actually get you anywhere. And I think that's what I remember the most from being a teenager, is that the mindset, I just so much fell back into these like compulsive checking of my body, of my face, of my hair, of my clothes, that I had to fit a certain thing or the person that I had a crush on or was friends with, mostly it was people I had a crush on, like wouldn't like me or like find me attractive. I remember the first few dates with my boyfriend, it was like a year ago. And I remember having to sort of like calm all of these thoughts in my mind about what he was going to think of how my face looked or my hair looked. And I had to like calm myself with this change in mindset that was just like, look, you want to be with a person who accepts how your face looks when it's the worst, right? And if this is a person who's going to sit across from you and look at all of your flaws in the same way that you can and sort of like grimace at those flaws, that's not a person that you want to be around. And just sort of like calming myself to be like, you know, this person might actually like you, like for these things that you are, be present with them and be with them and, you know, focus on that instead of focusing on your need to check yourself. And I ended up being with somebody who himself had a lot of the same, you know, insecurities when he was a kid, you know, had acne and had all these things. And then, you know, like, but you would never know now because he's flawless and beautiful and he's a doctor. And like, you know, he's just this incredible, like beautiful individual who like always fades his beard exactly right. Right. So you don't know that. You don't know that when you sit across from a person and you see this flawless in human being. And then later on, a few months later, you learn that like, oh yeah, I was like overweight and had acne and like had a unibrow and like all of this stuff. And you're like, no, that was not you. And then you see pictures and you were like, that was you. You, that, mm-hmm. And then you just feel so warm in your heart because you're like, oh my God.
You're human, just like me. I definitely know that feeling of like finding someone's flaws. And then you're like, it's like that episode of Parks and Rec that Anne with Chris Traeger, and Anne is like, it's so hard because he's a perfect person and then he gets the flu and then he's like on the floor looking disgusting. He looks in the mirror and he's like, stop pooping. And it's so funny because it's so relatable because she's like, wow, I really like you because you're just as human as me. And it's the truth. Like, and as I've gotten older, I've been able to do kind of what you've been doing where like you have been accepting yourself more and you're looking at your flaws and they are beautiful. And like, I go through these phases in time where I think I'm amazing and I'm just like, I look great. It doesn't matter. But then the acne has always been something that I am worried about, and it does still hold me back from some things. Like, you know, in high school, it held me back from trying out for the school play because I'm a naturally dramatic person, but I didn't want anybody but me doing my makeup. And so, like, as I've gotten older, I've tried to be like, okay, well, just try this and try that and push harder, because if you push yourself and you do something, you are going to feel so much better about the thing you thought was a flaw. Like, if you push yourself and do the thing, then the flaw is not what was holding you back. If you were able to do it, the flaw is not the problem. The problem is you. And that's really tough. And it's not a bad thing to look in the mirror and be like, I am beautiful. I am this. I am that.
Yeah. So I know people in my life that have had worse problems than just like skin problems. But if you know someone in your life that's had it so easy that they don't know how exhilarating it is to feel proud of the way you look or proud of something that you've done, you know, those people would respond like, really, you're going to be that conceited? But the people, like, you'd be surprised by how many people that you would be with either intimately or as friends would like cheer back and go like, go girl, like, you look so great mm-hmm. today. You look fire. Like, the eyeshadow was amazing. You know, I'm really grateful for that. So like you say, you know, sometimes it's yourself, both the positive and the negative. Like, if you can have that sort of mindset that you can do it even with your flaws, even if you don't completely love your flaws, because let's be honest, sometimes we feel great and sometimes we're like, I'm going to go hide now. Like, I'm going to go away. Like, even when we feel like we mostly have good days instead of like bad days of checking ourselves, are some days that we don't feel as good, that you still go, you know what, I feel bad, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then you get positive out of that. Then you are the solution as much as before you were the problem.
That's so important, because there's this idea that you have to love every part of yourself. And sometimes it's just really hard to get to that point. So like you said, like, you can still feel bad about it. Or maybe you get to a point where you're kind of neutral about things. Like, I don't love my acne as a flaw. It's still something I don't like. But to your point, Ellen, doing it anyway, and what you were saying, Aubrey, like, doing it anyway, doing things that you want to do and not letting that hold you back is probably more important than even being like, yeah, I love my bad skin. That's not always a place we can get to, because, you know, it hurts and it doesn't always feel good or look good. But don't let that stop you from doing things.
And it's interesting because it's really easy to point to something physical as a reason. So I feel like sometimes, and I did this, I had clear skin about a year and a half ago, like very good skin, where I was like, ooh, I'm over this. I'm done. I've reached the next phase of my life. And then that lasted for a little bit and then it came back. But anyway, I think it's even then, when my skin was really clear, I would point to like maybe a large pore as being like, this is why you can't go out to this party. It's just all of my internal anxiety bubbling up. That physicality is so easy to blame on stuff. And I didn't realize that until just now, talking out loud and listening to myself.
We love an external processing moment. We love it.
I do. I also want to ask you, Aubrey, because I'm only seeing you on Google Meet, and Google Meet is more pixelated, but your skin looks really good now, like, to be honest. Like, what do you do? Like, what do you use now?
because I have sensitive skin and because I need a good amount of moisture in both my hair and my face, the name of the game with all my skin and my hair is just a lot of moisture. So I use things that have very few ingredients. I love England because it's outlawed like 2,000 chemicals that we keep in all of our hair care and skin care. And I try to do things that don't have any sulfate. I try to do like creamy cleansers. So like I really like Burt's Bees. I do like Simple at the company Simple for moisturizer and for like cream-based cleansers. And with those two products in terms of the cleanser, I'll only really do it once a day unless I'm working outside or unless I've been in the city, like in a dense urban like central London for a long period of time, right? I like to use witch hazel because it's a toner that really brings down the redness in your skin. But also if for some reason I just really need to keep moisture on my face, like if I've been out in a lot of rain or I've had like a lot of stuff sort of stripping my skin or chemicals or anything for some reason, it removes the dirt from your face without removing a lot of the moisture in the other parts of your skin. So yeah, I love witch hazel and it also just smells really good. And then I try to take my makeup off with oil. That always scared me. Even after like having clear skin, it really scared me, the idea of removing anything with oil, because it just sounded so, so heavy on my skin.
Wait.
What?
What oil do you currently use to take your makeup off?
Olive oil or vegetable oil.
Like a real oil.
Like an actual oil.
Like
right,
cooking
so you
in
don't
the kitchen.
Keep it on your skin. So you use it to take the oil off, and it's better than I learned it actually from listening to Jonathan Van Ness's podcast, and he talks to this woman who does a whole book on how the geishas used to do their skincare in Japan, and he talked about how the number one thing was using natural oils to remove your makeup, and then you cleanse after you use the oil on your face because it is. A lot of the like makeup remover pads that you would use or the coarse soap could kind of like break up your skin or they wouldn't get completely remove the makeup. So I would use vegetable or olive oil and it hasn't made me break out.
That's amazing.
Cooking in the kitchen.
Right.
Do you buy like high quality or do you buy like...
I literally have just used light olive oil. Like from the kitchen.
That's a new one. I've never heard of that.
Too. I've also never heard
but
that.
But you can't like leave it on your skin. You do right. cleanse afterwards. This is just like the first like removal. Step. But when you start to remove your like mascara and the other parts on your face, it's crazy. Like it removes all of it.
This is inspiring me because I think you have this mentality when you have acne that any oil you put on your face is going to clog your pores and give you acne. But like if it's a cleanser and it's only or you're not if you're using it just to take your makeup off and it's on your skin for such a short period of time too, like that's good.
Right. Yeah. As like the last thing for my skincare, like I do put on a night moisturizer because I need it. I still like Burt's Bees. They have the sensitive skin cotton extract night cream, and I also like Avalon Organics orange stuff that just smells amazing.
Burt's Bees, North Carolina, baby. They're
all day, every day.
Based in Durham, North Carolina. So I love Burt's Bees. Love them. Really nice headquarters.
I just want to shake those bees' hands.
Aww. I just want to shake Mr. B.
Yeah.
Aubrey, what are you doing in quarantine to not lose your shit?
Yeah.
For me, mental health is like my job, like because of having OCD, and I went into remission like a year ago after actually like officially getting a diagnosis and going through the treatments for it. And so for me, my number one thing was just sort of like making sure to be attentive to myself, because I knew that if I didn't make my own health a priority, I couldn't really function. I couldn't really do anything to help other people. And I didn't want to lose all this, that progress that I had made. I think for me, what the different therapies for OCD that have been really helpful to me, what that taught me was that, again, it was like we were talking about earlier, you have all these things in your life that you can control, and you have all these things in life that you can't control. And so, like, you choose where to put your focus on. And I don't really believe that anybody can be happy 100% of the time or peaceful 100% of the time. And I really try, I've tried and been successful sometimes at sort of dropping the idea that I can be like happy and peaceful for like extended periods of time. I really just think that like life is hard. It's like, it's hard to be a human being. And now this massive thing has happened. And so what I try to do is tell myself that like the days that I need to cry because I just wake up and everything is wrong, like that's what I need to do. Like trust my body and trust that I need to just like cry and cry and cry. I then say to myself, okay, we've like cried all of this out because everything is wrong and it hurts. But now I need to make the choice to do the thing. So the concrete things I can put my attention on that make me happy are things like planting a garden with my sister or helping her restore her house. And that's what's amazing is like I've actually been able to feel happy and good and grateful during this time as much, if not more, as feeling the total chaos and grief and sadness of the things that I've lost and the things that I'm watching the world continue to lose, you know? So because you can't do anything about it, you need to put your focus on something concrete that you really enjoy that doesn't take a lot of brain cells. And then, you know, and then your world can sort of widen.
That is really true. Like, I actually did better this past week than I have in prior weeks because I have taken to doing something that takes very little brain cells, which is writing reviews for stuff on the internet.
Like what?
I love to talk. So talking to the void that is the internet is amazing. And I love to just be ridiculous but truthful in my reviews. So like, for example, I reviewed a baby Groot planter. My sister bought her husband a baby Groot planter head. So it's like a little Groot, baby Groot head from the Marvel movies. And you plant things in its head. And I left a review for it that was like, this curious Groot makes a great gift. My sister bought it, but you need to make sure that you don't put something that whose roots are going to ruin this tiny Groot's head. And I just, it felt really good because then I'm building up my review points. I've reviewed things on Sephora. I've reviewed things on Pharmacy. I have reviewed things on Ulta. I just love reviewing things. And I would never do it if I could, like, go out and be with people.
Yeah.
But it's helped me.
Ellen, that's so nice, though, that you found something like that. I think that's so important that, Aubrey, you were saying to find something that you can use just, like, two brain cells to do. Because sometimes that's all productive. I have left. What?
You're so smart, though, Hannah. Hannah, you're one of those people that you can do, like, anything.
Thanks.
Like, seriously.
So are you.
Like, you, like, make things.
Thanks.
She is pretty fascinating.
Imagine how cool that would be. Well, of course you can, but like it's hard to imagine how cool that must be. That's awesome.
Thanks. Even talking to you guys is helpful. I was texting Ellen yesterday that I felt really down, probably because of the global pandemic. And I feel really scared to go outside. Like, I get really, really scared every time and, like, panicky before I have to do it because people don't wear masks really here. And there are a lot of people. Either. But I was telling Ellen how I was getting really stressed out. But it's really nice to talk to you guys. It's making me feel a lot better.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Talk to your friends, people. If you're listening to this, hang up. Actually, keep listening till the end so then we can get the full play marker. But stop listening after we're done. Go talk to somebody. I'm sure they'd love to talk to you. If they don't want to talk to you, they might be going through something themselves. But somebody else in your life is going to want to talk to you because you're probably very cool. And if you're spending your time with us, that's
a good sign that you're on that you're very cool.
A huge bonus in my eyes.
Yeah, we're definitely on the right track here.
Exactly.
Aubrey, is there anything that we haven't talked about that's on your mind or you want to share?
No, I guess I know what it was like to sort of hide yourself or to just have these ingrained thoughts that, like, the person that you liked could never like you, or, like, that role that you wanted or that job that you wanted, you couldn't get it because you couldn't bear to, like, be in front of that person or be in front of that audience with your skin, like, the way that it was. You know, I just want to say to those people, like what Ellen said, like, go for what you want, because whether it's going to be just a short-term thing or whether it's going to be your whole life, you can't let something going on with you that alters the way that you look keep you from something you're really passionate about and something that you love. I spent so many years of my life afraid of what people would think about my skin if I showed it to them. If I could wish for anything back in my life, because I really don't have any regrets, I try not to, it's that that girl could have more time to focus on other things in her life besides the way she looked.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Well, thank you for being so much here, Aubrey, and talking to us. It was really nice to meet you, albeit virtually.
Yeah, man.
So after talking to Aubrey, I think what we really hope for ourselves and also for you, dear listener, is that you're more conscious of where you're putting your attention and more conscious of, you know, the time that you're spending looking at your skin and worrying about your skin could be used for things that, like, actually enrich your life or at the very least help you come to grips and cope with this global pandemic. Whether it's a job interview, whether it's, you know, going outside for a walk without makeup on, or, you know, talking to someone that intimidates you, or showing up for a Zoom call, you know, completely barefaced. Like, I think the message that I got from Aubrey is to really be conscious of, like, what you're putting your attention on and not let anything that you consider a flaw to stop you from really going after what you want. I mean, as cheesy as that is, like, it's true. And I'm being very convoluted, I realize.
No, it wasn't convoluted. I mean, I recently have been struggling more than usual with my skin and, like, accepting it and just being like, okay, at least I'm still very cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty Anzity and
yeah, you are.
I mean, it's okay to not be okay all the time and have all these flaws. And it was really nice to talk to Aubrey and know that she knows that herself, and, like, talking to other people on our podcast who are going through a skincare journey or have been through a skincare journey is what we want to do. And we hope that you found this episode really empowering, because we all have flaws. If you have no flaws, then you're that weird cyber model, Lil Michaela. Do you know Lil Michaela?
No.
Oh, okay. You guys all need to look up Lil Michaela. She's just like, she's no flaws because she's not real. But she, like, has multi-million dollar, like, campaigns that she poses in. She's like it's so crazy. Just look up Lil Michaela. So she's the only one that doesn't have flaws, but she's not a human.
Yeah, if you're a human, you have tons of flaws. Even the hottest people that you know have flaws.
Yeah.
And the exciting thing is getting to learn about those flaws and realizing that, hey, you're not alone. Like, other people who are real have these issues too.
You're just like me. You have flaws like me. Holy smokes. But anyway, if you like what you heard, follow Lil Michaela on social media, like, subscribe, rate, review. Please tell your friends about Pretty Zitty, because we want to get sponsored.
Yeah.
Silence.
Oh my gosh. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Pretty Zitty is made by Ellen Turner and Hannah Boomershine, and our music is by Blade 2.